It's lovely to be with you this morning, have an opportunity of sharing something of God's word. We're going to read together from the prophecy of Haggai, and we'll read the first chapter and then the first 9 verses of the second chapter. It's quite clearly dated because it starts in the second year of King Darius on the first day of the 6th month. So Haggai is clear when it was written, and we can follow all that through, which we will do later on. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the 6th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its cropped. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen. We thank God for his word and pray he'll give us a real understanding of his word. And so it's a real pleasure to be with you this morning, have the opportunity of sharing something of God's Word with you. You may wonder why I've chosen the prophecy of Haggai to speak on this morning. Part of the reason was that in the Bible Society we have a weekend away next weekend called Wild About the Word, and Elaine Duncan, who's the chief executive, had decided we should look at the prophecy of Haggai over the weekend. So we've been kind of looking at that particular prophet, and I found it really helpful and very applicable in today's society, and also found it quite challenging. Haggai is recorded, as we said, that it's quite accurately placed. It was part of the people who had been in exile in Babylon, and they had returned to Judah and to Jerusalem and were again repopulating that land. When they arrived back, they had started to rebuild the temple. They had started by putting the altars in the correct order so they could use the altars again. But then there was discouragement and opposition, and the rebuilding stopped. So their initial enthusiasm had waned, and they got involved in other things. And I think one of the things that I've found always quite difficult is when people discourage you and when there is opposition. And it happens, in a sense, it's so easy, isn't it, to discourage people. I was thinking about this morning, and I'm meant to be decorating our kitchen, repainting the kitchen. You know, it's one of those jobs that kind of think, I should really get on to do that. But often I say, oh no, just come and sit down, don't bother about that. I'm easily discouraged from doing a simple task like that. But it's true, isn't it, very much in life, people can say, oh, just leave that for the time being. You procrastinate and you stop it until suddenly it becomes almost forgotten about. It's easy to discourage people. If I was to ask you, who would you identify in the Bible as the one of the encouragers? Barnabas. His name was changed to Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas means son of encouragement. And as we could read in the book of Acts, you could see how Barnabas does encourage people. How in Acts chapter 9... verse 27, if I can turn that up, Acts chapter 9 verse 27, we see that Paul has been converted. He's still called Saul, but in verse chapter 9 verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. So there was Barnabas. He'd heard about this man, Paul, or Saul, who had been persecuting the church, but he went and encouraged Paul. And you know the story again later on as he continues his work of encouragement, even when it results in a sharp disagreement. Barnabas is there encouraging John Mark to go on more mission work, even though Paul said, well, he deserted us once, so we want no part of that. An encourager. Don't discourage people. Encourage people to continue their work. When the remnant had returned to Jerusalem, they had their priorities. They started to rebuild the temple, as I said, and sought out the altars for their sacrifices, but they were discouraged by the local people, some who'd been living there during the exile. As a result of that discouragement, the people started to look to their own interests, sort out their own things. This is why we read about people living in their panelled houses. They started turning inwards, and their desire for the public good, for the community good, in a sense, evaporated as they started thinking more about themselves, their own personal good that was more important than doing things for the Lord and rebuilding the temple. They were making their homes luxurious and comfortable. Haggai speaks about panelled houses. Now, if you've got a panelled house, what do you need to panel it? It's wood. If you're going to rebuild the temple and put up the roof trusses, what do you need? You need wood. So in a sense, what they were saying, our wood for our panelled houses is more important than the wood for building God's temple. 15 years after their failure to rebuild the temple, they'd had plenty of time to sort it out, but they had waited looking after themselves. And God then sends his message to the governor, the civic ruler, Zerubbabel, and to the religious leader, the high priest, Joshua. Haggai tells these two people, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. This message was given to the civic leaders and to the spiritual leaders. In a sense, what's being asked there is, what are you going to do about it? Here are these people saying, it's not time yet. We've got too much to sort out. It's not time to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then, as we read, the Lord's message goes to everyone. You know, you've got your harvests and they fail. Never satisfied with what you've eaten. You drink, but your thirst is never quenched. Your clothes don't keep you warm. Your wages disappear in great big holes in your pockets. There's no satisfaction. They never have enough. They're searching after the wrong thing. And then the words that we read, give careful thought to your ways. You know, when all these circumstances are happening, when they look around and see what's going on, give careful thought to your ways. Consider how things are going. Consider how you've fared. Take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. Here was God's house lying in an unfinished state. Just the altars in any useful condition. What does God think about this as his name is being dishonored? When people look on and see what they see, what do they think about God? God has not ceased to be God. Rather, it was the fact that he was being so dishonored amongst the people who had returned to Jerusalem. And in a sense, it meant the people were not satisfied with the material possessions of the food, the drink, clothes or wages. And in some ways, again, that's a challenge today. We'll never be satisfied if we're searching after more money, a better job, searching after promotion, better clothes, bigger car. You know, all the sorts of things that so often can drive our society. Those things will never, never satisfy. What will satisfy is coming to know Jesus Christ and following him and walking in his ways. And the message goes to the secular leader, Zerubbabel. He heard the message. He heard what God was saying. The spiritual leader, Joshua, heard what God was saying. And the whole remnant of the people there heard what God was saying. What did they do? What did they do when they heard God's message? They obeyed. And in a sense, they were completely turned around because they obeyed what God was saying to them. The message delivered by Haggai was recognized as coming from the Lord, and they obeyed. And they obeyed, and that led, as we read in verse 12, they feared the Lord. The people feared the Lord. What do you understand by people fearing the Lord? I think sometimes fear can be associated with that of being frightened, there's something scary. But the fear of God has more to do with God being so different, so other to us. God is holy, God is righteous. Sin can have no place in the presence of God, and we do right to fear God. C.S. Lewis captures the idea in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe when Mr. Beaver describes the lion, that again representation of God. Safe, says Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I'll tell you. You see, the lion, in a sense, could eat you up in a mouthful. But this God is good. And that's the fear that we hold in tension there. The people were discovering not only that God was to be feared, but that God loved them, that God was good. No doubt they could reflect on where they'd come from. They knew their history. They had seen, they knew the prosperity and the success in battles under King David. The establishing of the kingdom in this promised land. They knew about the prosperity and the building of the temple under Solomon's reign. They knew that things had gone wrong. The kingdom had been split. So you had the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. They knew that the northern kingdom had gone into exile earlier because they had been more disobedient. Whereas the southern kingdom maintained their obedience for a bit longer, but still they were also disobedient and went into exile for 70 years. The reason for their exile was because of their sin, because of their disobedience. God had to teach them a lesson. They knew that. And now they feared God. God was back on his throne. He was coming back into their lives. And now their decision was to rebuild the temple in order to honor God, who had kept his promises. He had kept faith with these people. He had dealt with them, yes, but he had kept faith with them. He had kept his promise, his covenant. And so although they'd gone through that suffering and that exile, you know, the exile, often think of Psalm 137. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? But now they were back in the promised land. And what did God's messenger give to the people when they viewed the task in front of them? When they decided to obey God, what did God say to them? I am with you. What further confirmation do we need than the word, God is with us? The promise of the Messiah in Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. In John 14 verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We cling on to those promises as we face the days ahead of rebuilding God's temple. As we seek under God to build the kingdom of God here, know for a certainty, God is with you. That's his promise to you. I am with you. Do you hear what God is saying through Haggai to the people facing a great upheaval where they're going to have to change their priorities? I am with you. When the people received this message, what was the result? So the Lord stirred up the spirit, or sparked the enthusiasm of the governor, the civic leader, Zerubbabel. Sparked the enthusiasm of the spiritual leader, Joshua, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. So God was working amongst them, and God by his spirit said, right, get on with this work. And they were stirred to do that. But even then, the recognition that Haggai brings to them. Is there anyone who can remember this house, this temple, as it was before? In comparison, how does it look to you now? Must seem like nothing at all. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? Well, yes. But God is with us. Look at the job in front of us. We'll never be able to restore this house to its former glory. We don't have the skilled workmen to do the carving, or the silversmith, the goldsmith to do the fine work. We are just a remnant. We don't have the resources. No, they weren't saying that. They weren't looking, in a sense, at what they hadn't got. They were looking to God, who again says, through Haggai to the governor, take courage, be strong. Says the high priest, the spiritual leader, take courage, be strong. Says to the remnant of the people, take courage, be strong. Throughout this prophecy, the roles of each person is recognized and addressed. The governor had to govern. The spiritual leader had to lead in spiritual matters, and the people were addressed. The message to all three, governor, high priest, remnant, take courage and work. And it's the same message from God today. Take courage and work. The reassurance that God is with you. God has not gone back on his promises. His covenant is with these people. As long as you obey God's word, then he will build the kingdom. However, there's warning still there within the scriptures. The reason the people went into exile was because they disobeyed God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read, to start off with, the blessings. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And so the next 13, 14 verses are full of what God will bless these people with. And then in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket, your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. But if we honor God, great things will happen. And we know that God's kingdom now is much bigger than that temple, much bigger than Jerusalem or Judea. It's gone out throughout the whole world. God's kingdom has expanded throughout the world. We're only a small part of it. But the reassurance is, God is with us. So take courage. Be strong. Work to build the kingdom out of what was left. Go and collect the wood from the mountains. Tell others about Jesus. Use and develop your skills you never knew you had, because God has purposes for you in order that he might be honored and glorified. Haggai was only, the prophecy here is only over a period of 4 months, a fairly short time. But the message that he brings a message of reassurance that if we obey God, know that he will be with us. Take courage and get on and work to build the kingdom of God here in this place. And may God give us strength to do just that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the relevance of your word for today. Even though it was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, again we hear your voice resonating amongst us in our hearts, in our minds, as we think on what you can do in building your kingdom through people like us, that people might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that people might find forgiveness for their sins, that people's lives might be completely redirected rather than seeking after material possessions. They seek after building the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to be part of that workforce. Help us to take courage, to be strong, and to work for Jesus Christ. And this we ask in his name. Amen.